speakers. Okay. With that, we will move on in our agenda. We have two discussion items for tonight. The first one is the middle school report cards, and that's tab one of your binders. And I'm not sure who's going to be presenting that, but you can come forward now. A group. I like groups. And I'll let Dr. Nash take over from here and make introductions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We thought that it would be very important that in the... I'm on. We thought that it would be very important that in addition to the copies that you have in your materials of the survey that was done, a number of other documents, a study that was done by UW graduate student, that we spend some time this evening. And we hope that this is kind of a new model for the way that we can present around issues of performance and achievement. And that is to bring in people who are on the ground, so to speak, to give you that flavor and sense also of the difficulties and issues of implementing something new and different, the successes that can come from implementing something new, and also the take a real realistic look at how something of this magnitude does roll out and the amount of professional development that's needed for it to truly succeed. So tonight we are going to talk about the middle school report card, and we moved into that middle school report card by first spending a year working with all of the middle schools, learning coordinators, teachers, and principals to begin to have a more uniform and consistent middle school curriculum. So that was step number one. I was very pleased that we began our committee meeting with a reading of the purpose of performance and achievement, because that very clearly talks about the fact that we are looking at standards-based work. We are looking at things that speak to the very heart of what we do, and that is, of course, the teaching and learning experience. So today, after I do an overview, you will have the opportunity to speak, to listen and speak to Mike Hernandez, the principal at Sherman Middle School, Aaron Davenport, Katie Salkowski, and Christy Mittling, all teachers at Sherman who have, I think, eyes wide open viewpoint on standards-based report cards and standards-based reporting generally. I would appreciate, if possible, the opportunity for us to sort of move through the presentation, and then we'll take questions at the end if that works for everybody. If not, it doesn't, and we'll field them as they come. The notion of moving toward a middle school standards-based report card obviously came on the heels of implementation of an elementary standards-based report card. And I think that there was some hope and some thinking that because it had been in place at the middle school for a number of years, that the transition, not only for teachers, but also, more importantly, I think, possibly students and parents, would not be as difficult a one as if we were just sort of dropping this out of the blue. I think there is some degree of truth to that, that parents were familiar with the format, as were students. But I think students were also, and parents were also, kind of disappointed to see the letter grade replaced with a number, although we used a hybrid, and I think struggled a little bit with, oh, you know, we're in middle school, we thought this would be different. It's very, very important, and we did a tremendous amount of work meeting with PTOs across the city, meeting with parent groups, talking with as many people as we could, and the principals and their learning coordinators did an equally wonderful job of trying to explain how important it was to base our curriculum on standards, how important it was to be able to clearly identify exactly what students needed to move forward in their as their achievement curve began to rise. And I think we have begun that journey. The materials that we gave you, we were very careful with that format as well. We wanted to identify implementation issues because there are some. We wanted to let you know the efforts that have been made as the rollout has occurred, but more importantly, as it continues. This was not a let's do it in 1 year and all will be well. We understood that this initiative needed continual support, needed continual communication to parents and students about what the grades meant or didn't mean, and how those report cards could truly, again, hone in on ways in which students could accelerate their achievement. So that's the format we utilized, and I hope that you found that to be productive, to see our concerns and then ways in which we're moving forward. We also, I also want to just note before I turn it over to the teachers, that there are a number of professional development activities that have gone on and will continue to go on around the middle school report card. I think one of the things that as you read the survey and get a sense from parents and students and teachers, a level of concern and perhaps a level of confusion, that comes from the difficulty that any new initiative has around what I call fidelity of implementation. When some people are doing it one way and some are another and some are another, the confusion begins. So we've had lots of conversations around consistency, around the importance of that for students and parents, and we will continue to help people move toward that more consistent response. I think it's also very important for the board to know that there was a tremendous amount of teacher input and design and conversation throughout this process that was very, very important, not only to us, but obviously very, very important to teachers. And we will continue those conversations. We have learning coordinators whose primary focus last year was around the work and the professional development that's needed to implement a report card of this complexity and this nature. And we also have a number of we also have a joint committee, teacher and teaching and learning and a number of others, committee that's been ongoing. That committee has focused a lot of its conversation around technology. And we're pleased that there to say that there have been some advancements in the in the technology piece. Nothing more frustrating than being ready to fill out that report card and unable for a technological reason not to be able to do so. So we worked on that. There's new middle school initiatives around additional technology. And so we move forward, but with the understanding that something like this is very difficult for people to assimilate in a year. It's very, but I think bottom line, and you'll hear this from the Sherman people, I would imagine, in the end, this is all about making certain that we are communicating clearly to parents and kids about their learning. That's what it is. So go forth.
Well, I'd like to thank you guys for inviting us here tonight. I think that Dr. Nash, I think that Dr. Nash pretty much said what we want to say. I think it's very important, though, that you sit down and you will listen to the teachers. The thing that I would like to do is I'd like to extend an invitation to the committee members, to the boards in whole, to come out to our school during a staff meeting, come out during the day and speak to the staff, because we've bought into this, the students have bought into it, and the key to this is the communication aspect. I read this as well, and there are some disheartening things in there. I think one of them is possibly from lack of communication at all levels. It's going to be something that's easily fixed. You know, standard-based report cards with strong teachers will do amazing things. You're going to hear from a few strong teachers, but I have a building full of them, and we're seeing some really good things in that building. So at that, I'm going to pass this to Katie.
Hi. I am so excited to share with you some of the benefits of using standards-based curriculum, instruction, assessment, grading, and reporting. That's a lot of standards-based stuff. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is the communication that this current model allows for us. We communicate with the student before any project or assignment or quiz what the standard is, and then through my former principal is taking photos, and then through rubrics, through exemplar models, and through discussion, we meet with the students and make sure that they understand their expectation. Then during and after, we listen to the students' self-assessment of their strengths and challenges, and then we provide our own assessment of their strengths and challenges in a given area. Now, in addition to communicating with the students, we also communicate with the families. Like any teacher, we communicate with the families via phone and email, day-to-day, or, well, not day-to-day, week-to-week. But then we also have additional opportunities. The families can access the students' grades on the Infinite Campus system at any point and connect with the teachers if they have a question or concern. In addition, we run student-led conferences. Now, don't get me wrong, the teachers are present at the conferences. But the student takes the initiative with our guidance, and I have copies of those forms should you want them, that they introduce their parents, they walk through their materials, they explain, this year new, they explain why they got a certain number grade from a standard-based assessment, and then what they could have done to get something higher, or why they scored the top mark. In addition, we have the report cards on the Infinite Campus system that allow for teachers to make comments at every level of reporting. We can make comments on the report card after the standard, the power standard that was met. We can make comments after the learning skills, like doing homework or working with each other. Or we can wait and make comments, or we can do them all, in the grade section with the letter grade. So with all of those examples, I'm so happy to tell you that communication is really one of the things that's strong about the standards-based grading.
I don't even know how to go after that. Well, I have the distinct pleasure of partnering with Katie at Sherman as well. And I think I bring a somewhat of a unique perspective tonight in that last year I taught eighth grade in this new model, but I also had two eighth grade students that were new to this model of my own in the district. So I had a very kind of comprehensive experience with this. And for me, kind of the big part is the assessment piece, and Katie obviously touched on it a little bit. But I think what standards-based grading allows us and requires us to do is to compartmentalize what is it that we're reporting on. Are we talking about the essential learning target, or are we talking about a work habit, and which of those should be identified in what way? And this report card model and this kind of current system allows us to do that across subjects, communicate more information, and most importantly, disregard what I would consider to be non-academic factors. It does not allow for teachers to include behavior in a grade, kind of things that are important to a classroom and to a learning community, but should not be a part of communicating or reporting on understanding and learning, which is what our focus is. Oh, so one thing that we, when we were kind of talking about what do we want to bring or share with you in reviewing this report is how we communicate to and reach and provide opportunities for our advanced learners, and how to really bridge that gap between a student who identifies him or herself as an A student or a B student, and how do they stay kind of in that positive light in terms of their reflection on themselves as a learner. And so what we do is called 4 Ops, and the kids understand that that's an opportunity to show a 4. And it reverts to communicating, and it's kind of this new lingo and new language and new habits and whatever, but it's all for the betterment of the learning and the teaching process. And so I feel like we're happy with it and we're successful with it because we work together and we take the opportunities to reach out and share what works and what doesn't work, and most importantly because we include the kids in the process. So I'm all for it.
Okay, there has also been there's been substantial time and effort put into professional development, both within the buildings as well as across the district, which Dr. Nash sort of alluded to. Within our building, we have spent time discussing what a 4 is and what a 4 means, and within the content areas, how students can achieve 4s within our classroom and within our curriculum. We also have spent time looking at student work at our grade level meetings to see if teachers agree. Teachers will bring in a sample of work and say, here's how I graded it. Other teachers will look at it and say if they agree or not, and then we can discuss if it's a disagreement, why, and so we can really get a better understanding of what a 2 is and what a 3 is and what a 4 is. With change, it does require teachers to communicate and have collaboration across the grade levels and across the whole school. This year, we're actually going to be doing quarterly writing assessments where we teachers will, at a grade level, all students will have the same writing prompt, and then teachers will be grading other classrooms' papers, and then we'll be having more discussions about what each score means. And that it's another way for, in our building, for us to make sure that we are grading consistently and having consistency among our teachers. Across the district, and people from our building have participated in the Learning Leadership Committee meetings and the leadership content areas, which then the reps have gone and come back with information about our grading guides and other strategies that they have shared. And then we've been working on this for a few years, and so as back as the DVDs, and we have even discussed other things prior to coming to standards-based grading, along with grading.
Thanks. And as a final point to the presentation, I just want to take note of the first-year implementation issues and our continual improvement efforts. There is no doubt that a move to a standards-based grading system represents some fundamental change at many levels, and fundamental change in beliefs and in practices is a long and arduous task, but the goal is clearly to make learning more equitable and the grading system more public and more accountable. What this conversation has done is a lot of things, and we realize that there has been inconsistency and confusion and frustration. But there is, as our teachers, thank you, by the way, that was wonderful, there are conversations going on in buildings that are talking about what is important to learn, what does that look like, how do I know when a student has learned that, and how do I communicate the learning process? That's the bottom line, and that is no small task. Grading processes that we are moving away from are understood by all, and they seem to be very clear, and they're not really very questioned. And so we're going into this eyes wide open. When you unpack practices in each individual classroom and expose it to the community, expose it to each other, there's going to be some pretty deep conversation. And we are ready for that conversation and ready for the benefits of what this will do for consistency, for deeper reflection on what it is that's important to have for the learning in the classroom, and for the deeper collaboration among teachers on how to help students get to the absolute highest level of achievement possible. But knowing that there are many systems that are impacted and many practices that are going to be touched by this and then brought out into the public, we have been working with teachers since way before, as Pam had mentioned, with a concerns-based adoption model survey 2 years well before this implementation, learning leadership teams that represent their school, grade level, and all content areas to give us continual input, feedback, pleasant and unpleasant, raw as it is, and helping in the design and the shape of the tools, the resources, the professional development, and even to the interface of the report card and the grading book. And we're going to commit, we have committed to continuing to get input from the stakeholders, to listen to that input very seriously, and to make every change that we possibly can to improve the interface on the technology, the time-taking concern that teachers have, and to try to streamline the process while keeping the integrity of a standards-based process, which focuses on the learning and the levels of learning with specific feedback to help the student take that next step. And as Pam has indicated, there are several levels that we'll be continuing to work with next year. And this is the third year of major focus and support for standards-based. A year prior, the first year of implementation, and the second year of implementation as we're looking at 09-10. The primary vehicles, as are described in this the document, will be teachers. Professional development and support for teachers. Learning coordinators are key as they support the building principals in the instructional leadership for standards-based improvement. And we meet with learning coordinators in a professional development forum on a regular basis. And they give us the lowdown of what's happening currently, and we're providing professional development and resources and ideas back and forth in a mutual exchange. Review of all major documents and rollout plans of professional development always hit at least one, if not all, of these groups, including learning coordinators, principals, and the learning the leadership teams. So in addition to learning coordinators, the teacher professional development will be focusing on leadership committees. And they're explained briefly in the document, but they're critical. And these are content-based leadership teams. And it is teachers such as these teachers here that are members of the content, for example, math, language arts, science. So teachers from the building representing the grade levels had input into the design of the power standards, into the comments, into the resources about homework and some of these other issues that have been highlighted in the community. The major document and resource that we'll be working with in the leadership teams this year will be on the grading guides. And this is a major step forward in the consistency issue and the time and the frustration issue about what does a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 mean. To do this with integrity, a mathematical calculation will not determine levels of proficiency. And so teachers, with student work in front of them and working through this first year, have given input into the proficiency levels in each of the content areas at each grade level of what are the parameters for their colleagues of a 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we have samples of the grading guides back here. They will be available and ready for all teachers on the August 31st professional development session. And we're confident that as teachers work with these in team meetings and in grade level meetings, that it will add comfort, guidance, and consistency about standards-based grading. So that, as I believe Chrissy mentioned, that when a student work is evaluated in one area, of the city that a similar piece of student work in another area of the city can be assured that there will be a consistent proficiency level. And that is something that really brings us much closer to equity. The August 31st session will have many teacher-led sessions. Co-authors of the grading guides will be sharing them with their colleagues, what they're about, how they will be useful, how to implement them, and how to gauge each other in conversations. In addition to the author of the research, the master's thesis on learning the new culture of standards-based language, that will be a major kickoff session for all middle school staff as well. So with the eyes wide open about the huge issues, we have moved forward with standards-based report cards, knowing well that there will be issues. And our responses to them continue to be professional development, support, and listening with and by teachers, creating materials that are going to be useful and friendly with teachers and for teachers to use with their students and to be able to communicate with parents. And we look forward to the next year, as many of the first-year glitches are distant memories, and we're getting to that deeper level of learning and helping each other become better professionals. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nash, Ms. Wachtel, the Sherman staff. The teachers are definitely a hard act to follow.
Yahoo!
That was really great. I assume now that I'm going to open it up for questions and comments with the board, and then we'll move on from there. So Ms. Silvera, followed by Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Moss.
Thank you all very much. It was very enjoyable hearing your share your experience with the report cards. It's much appreciated. I have a question that maybe it's best for Dr. Nash, though. Mm-hmm. And this has been something that I've heard over the past year from many different people, and it has to deal with the subject of homework. And I hear such and such a school does not give homework. Such and such a school gives a lot of homework. Homework doesn't apply to the grades. Why should we do homework if it doesn't help us try to get to a 3 or a 4 or whatever the case may be? There seem to be a lot of stories, you know, going around. So just what is the story or the deal with the middle school homework philosophy?
Homework, well, first of all, the research on homework spans the gamut in terms of its appropriateness, in terms of its true impact upon learning. And I think if you really look at those reports, you have to look very carefully at the kind of homework. Is it rote? Is it practice? Is it the kind of homework that doesn't necessarily reinforce what was learned in the classroom? And then there is the sort of extra credit homework, I think, that has often been part of children's education, where grades become almost as where homework is almost part of a bartering system. So there's a lot of kinds of homework. The pure version of homework, and I guess that's what we're striving for here, is homework that does reinforce, homework that does allow a student to sort of, you know, feel like they have learned something, feel like there's a level of mastery when they get home by themselves and start doing the work. The impact that reinforcing homework has on academic achievement is pretty clear. That kind of homework, while not factored in per se, without question, has impact on the child's learning. And so taking something as well-known as homework, taking something as sort of sacred as homework, and beginning to put it in another place where it can be commented on and utilized, again, to further the learning, is a process. And I think for a lot of us that grew up with homework, or a lot of people who, you know, hear about somebody having 2 hours to 4 hours of homework a night, and that makes people feel like, wow, we're really, really driving the point home. That's the kind of homework we need to analyze, and that's the kind of again, is it reinforcing or is it simply a checkoff in a grade book? And that's what we're trying to get away from.
It's a follow-up question. So are you finding then that more middle school kids are choosing not to do homework? Because it doesn't...
No. No, I think it's all about the way it's presented.
Right. Okay.
And so there's kind of two ways that we look at it and we kind of agree on, is that there's home practice and then there's work. There's work that sometimes we get done in class, and sometimes it requires several nights or a weekend at home, depending on what the project is. There's plenty of projects and demonstrative learning activities that do require outside of school time. And we do offer homework clubs. That's a whole other conversation about what kids have access to at home. But in terms of work habits, that kind of old-fashioned, I have an extra file or a box that's homework skill drill worksheets that's doing the same thing 50 times, we don't really buy into that, and we don't see that that helps the kids. We do, however, want to reinforce accountability, responsibility, okay, work habits, and so we find ways to integrate that into our curriculum, responsibility, parties or rewards or whatnot, and more importantly, self-reflection of the students. And so we, if you want copies, have a template of just one example where we actually go through with the kids and have them list this homework that would not have been graded and simply been a part of that sometimes, most of the time, rarely reflection on a report card. And we have them look and go, okay, well, gosh, I didn't do 5 out of 5 homework assignments and I did really poorly on my test. Let's think about this. How does this affect me as a learner? And our goal and our emphasis is to build strong habits and to engage our students into producing quality work rather than a 50-problem worksheet.
It helps.
So yeah, it's really kind of rejecting some of those old attachments to what we think of and kind of embracing this new model of quality learning and experiences.
Thank you. And how much difference is there between all of the middle schools? Is there a need for more standardization?
Absolutely. That conversation will always continue until we get it absolutely right. And people are always at different places in their learning and their experience and what have you. But what's, I think, absolutely terrific and tremendous about this model of implementation is the level of attention we have paid to professional development, and will continue to pay until everybody's at a comfort level similar to the one you have seen this evening, where the conversations are natural, where the grading guides are something that that are used, and where the comfort with technology is there, and that is not at the same place in all the middle schools, and we are continuing to work with that and to get people. That has to be there before some of the deeper conversations can occur, but we're not letting it. We're not leaving it to chance.
Just to clarify, though, I know that you had mentioned that students or parents concerned that homework doesn't count for a grade, but it does count. As you can use it as an artifact to show proficiency. It can be the beginning or it could be the middle or the end. It's the practice at home, as they can come in and then they can demonstrate in front of us that they are proficient or they're advanced, or, you know, we still need to continue to work on this. So it doesn't necessarily come back as the 95% you have an A, you know, and those things. But it does show that we still have some gaps here. And so it's not a penalty, but it can definitely support. And the students buy into that because of the fact that we have these conversations constantly.
And to go off of that, some teachers, myself included, have done what we call entrance slips, entrance or exit slips. And what it means is
when the student comes in, it's sort of like a warm-up activity, and they pick up a piece of paper, or it's on the overhead, and it has, for example, maybe they had the problems in math last night, and then there's similar problems that morning, and they come in and do it, where if they had done their homework last night, they're able to do it in class. But it's in front of us to see that it was their ability to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maya, at some point, could you put me on a list?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Moss.
Thank you. I know we have a lot to go get through tonight, and I'll try and be as brief as I can. And I appreciate hearing your presentations, and I think I'd like to offer a slightly different perspective on the issue. I don't have any question or challenge the standard-based approach to instruction or what you're doing in terms of instructional practices. And I'm very pleased to see the evaluation, the materials that we were provided that gave us, that provided, I think, a fairly objective feedback on how the process has been going this year. That's, I think that's a real step forward in terms of communicating with the board and learning about how things are actually going. And it provided a lot of information to talk about. But I want to talk about middle school report card, the change in middle school report cards in terms of communication with parents. Because I frankly think it's a step backward. And I say that because a lot of the conversation tonight and in the reports is talking about implementation changes and how we are going to work to make this process work better, with the assumption that the endpoint is going to be better than it was before. Now, I don't know what the problem was that needed to be fixed in terms of report cards, because, you know, you have A, B's, and C's, and those are very potent symbols for people. We all have our ideas of what those mean. And in terms of communicating with parents and engaging parents in partnerships, I think they're a real powerful tool. You have parents who say whatever their expectation is for their kids. You know, we expect you to get, you know, a C average, a B average, an A average, whatever it is. And they can communicate that to their kids, and their kids know from the perspective of the parents, what level of achievement they're expected to receive and can work towards that. The parent receives the report card, and it tells the parent, you know, how the kid is doing. And if the level of achievement is what the parent expects, if it's a B average and that's what the parent said, I want you to get, everything's okay. If it isn't, then the kid knows there's going to be consequences, and the parent can impose consequences on the kid and say, you've got to work harder. To me, that's parent-teacher communication and cooperation. When you take that away, and I understand the goal or the end point of the process is to eliminate the letter grades, you have parents who really don't understand what this stuff is supposed to be telling them. And I understand you can study it and learn it, but I think that's a lot to ask for parents. I know, you know, I can't speak to you with your experiences as a teacher, but I can speak to my experience as a parent. And if I get a report card and the grades are what I expect or what I want to see, I don't really care, you know, if my student showed proficiency in analyzing the Civil War. That, you know, I don't need to get into that. I just see that the grades are where they need to be and we can go on. So when you're taking away that communication tool with the parents, it seems to me that we're stepping backwards. So I just have never understood the particular reason why we've done this. I know in the business world, if you have an improvement, you think something is an improvement with your process, and you take it out to the customers, and the customers say, you know, you may think that's great, but we don't like it. You say, okay, the customer's right. You know, we thought this would work, but apparently it's not, so we're going to go on to plan B. It seems like we've taken the first step in terms of asking the parents what they want, but now we're saying, well, we're going to somehow, regardless of whether parents think it's a good idea or not, we're going to continue this until, by gosh, they agree that this is a good thing, rather than listening to parents who are saying, this doesn't help us, this doesn't tell us what we need to know, and we don't like it. So I have that concern about that. So I'm happy to have this discussion, but I read the report that we get, and it says that most teachers report that it has resulted in less emphasis on homework and students less willing or able or something to do their homework, which is a detriment. We see parents, teachers saying they're spending too much time working on this to the detriment of communications with parents, and that's a detriment, although I understand we're working on that, and that could be a transitory thing. But I just don't see the end point as worth the process we're going through. I just don't see how we end up better engaging parents in the participatory process of helping their students learn. So I have a little different perspective on that. And I have a question for the superintendent. We have this implemented at the middle school level, and I know that there's a lot of anxiety about that from a number of parents. Is there any intention of extending this process to the high school level?
To that specific point, we have no plans to do that. And what would have to be in place before that could ever be considered are, number one, you know, working through the issues that we're working through at the middle level. And I believe we can work through those issues over time. And I believe, and perhaps it's a more complete discussion at another time, that if we're going to have standards, we need to be reporting on how students are doing relative to the standards. That puts us in some type of framework, whether it's this one or a different one, to have a standards-based reporting system. And the other thing relative to the high school piece, beyond having no plans for that and needing to work out the logistics of this before we'd ever have a conversation, is that we have to be very careful as we go forward to make sure that as students leave us, that they aren't in any jeopardy using a different grading system for where they need to go after high school. So I guess I want to be very clear that I think there's value down the road in the conversation, but we have no plans relative to implementation at this stage of the game, and it would be a long time before I think we would be there.
Thank you.
Principal Hernandez wanted to say something.
Just with all due respect, I think that the comment of going backwards, I'm not sure if I necessarily agree, because as you mentioned, you see the A, B, C, and if that's your expectation, it's done, the conversation's done. When a parent sees a 2 or a 3, I will tell you that we received many phone calls at the beginning of the year with parents that we typically wouldn't call us. And we were able to have these conversations, really nice conversations, to the point where the students, they were comfortable enough to lead our conferences as the students would talk about, this is what I did to get a 2 or a 3, and this is what I need to do. And that's very powerful for students. They've taken ownership in their academics and their learning. They've taken ownership into their team. Trust, the teachers are trusting the students to do this. To no accord, I mean, the students, middle school students, they have their own free will. They could say anything they want in front of their parents. And then the parents then feeling, at times, very nervous about what Mr. Hernandez, Ms. Alkowski, is this an A or is this a B? And we have that conversation then as well. But we're consistently going back to, is this proficient? Is this advanced? You know, on this. So I think that it's kind of opened up the conversations to this. But I understand, as a parent, I've never gone through this looking at A's, B's, and C's. My children are too young right now. So I understand where you're coming from. But from my perspective, and I think from your perspective, is that it's opened up many more avenues of communication. Now, how you take advantage of that communication, I can't speak to. I can speak to how we're taking advantage of that communication.
You also mentioned that you can look at an A, look at a B, look at a C, and know what it means. And one of the conversations that we had in our buildings prior to standards-based, like now we're having the conversation of what a 4 means. Prior, we had a conversation about what a C means. And we discovered that within our building, as I'm sure is true across the whole district, that what a C means different things in different classrooms. And I say that only to point out that with this system, we have been able to, with the grading guides, have more consistency in what a 1 is, what a 2 is, what a 3 is, and what a 4 is than, in my opinion, what we had probably with what a C is.
And just one more perspective, because I am a parent, and I'm a parent of two very different learners. I have one child who is in gifted and talented, and I have one child who's serviced through special education, so I have a very kind of broad kind of spectrum of experiences throughout the years. And it was always kind of reverting to that, well, what does a C tell me, and what does a B tell me? And certainly I recognize that understanding, I think, is most clear if you're somebody who is used to having your child come home with A's. But what does a C tell you if your child were to come home with a C? Well, did they really bomb one test, or did they never do a single homework assignment? And I think the scariest thing to me about letter grading in the old model, in terms of why are we fixing it if it's not broken, is that it was very broken from the standpoint of grading is inherently subjective, obviously. We're working on that as a district and as a building. However, as long as you are given the authority to count non-academic peripheral elements such as behavior, attendance, cooperation, all these things that are important, again, to a community but not related to these essential targets that our district, our state, and our nation has identified as what students need to know, that's a pretty scary picture for me as a parent and as a teacher. So have you had a chance to look at the new report cards? I don't know if you still have students in school, but there's standards-based instruction and reporting is much more informative. It tells a lot more information to parents than just one letter that represents 9 weeks of learning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Moss, followed by Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Maslin.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to just thank especially the staff from Sherman for coming out tonight. And you have some very uplifting stories, especially after – and actually, this report was not as bad as I had feared. There were some I felt like it, especially the part where the teachers, like 86-90% of the teachers understand the standards and what they're teaching to. So that's really the first important step, and then the grading will come next. But my personal kind of, in my mind, the way I kind of get my head around why are we even bothering with standards, why are we doing this, is because we are dedicated. We have to teach so many different styles of learners. We have so many different learning styles in our schools. We have to teach all those kids. We're required to by law, morally. And to teach all of those different learners, we need to break down the component of each skill that they're going to be learning, and then and teach those and make sure that each child has mastered each component of each skill. And I guess it's when you have had a child with an IEP for many years, it really makes a lot of sense, because that's what IEPs do. They break down the information, the skill, the curriculum into parts, and that's how and that's what you master as you move along. So in my mind, and I'm assuming that's why we're looking at teaching to standards, why all this talk about standards, and I'm judging by your nodding your head that that's probably pretty correct. And I also was really interested in the four ops that you have at Sherman, and it sounds like that would solve some of the issues with parents and students not understanding why they couldn't get fours. And I was wondering if all the middle schools are coming up with kind of their own way of doing this, or if this is going to be standardized, because it seems, I know we like to have local control in all of the schools, but it seems that as soon as you start having different, you know, in Sherman, to get a four op, you'll have to do this much work. In Jefferson, you'd have to do this much work, and you could get it at four, so you're back to kind of where you started. So I just wonder if you could address that.
Certainly. The grading guides will offer, hopefully, much clearer consistency about a four. And in looking back at the year, I think that particularly the proficiency level four was most problematic. We knew from the elementary report card, which calls a four beyond grade level standards, that would not work at the middle school level. And we took special effort and care to define a four that is achievable and reachable by many students in the classroom, that it would be an in-depth understanding. a four in the standards-based system that our teachers have helped us design defines that in depth by not with additional work, not with doing something at home that you have to bring in or more or double, but having the opportunity to explore it at a deeper level with more sophistication, with connections to other content areas, so that a four should be offered in every content area, in every subject. And that little paragraph that I offer in the issues and recommendations is in the teacher guide and will be a point of conversation with the grading guides and in the new teacher guide. There was quite a bit of problem with the four, that it needed, it was connected to like extra credit, and that it would be your responsibility to do it, student. I only teach at the three. And we saw that, we noted that, and we really needed to step back and say, no, it's a responsibility of every classroom to have that next level of challenge, and you should have it for all students because it raises the bar. And so I believe that the issue of a four will deepen conversations in all classrooms. Many students will be able to achieve that, and that we hope that the level of four really does enrich the instruction for all students, having it being a basic responsibility going on in the classroom at all times.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? And another part I wanted to bring your attention to was the part of several teachers, I think parents, mentioned that students with IEPs were stuck at two, and how were they ever going to get beyond two? And I was really surprised that that was an issue, because if you have an IEP, you should be allowed to get a four or three just like everyone else. So I hope that that's going to be part of the discussion, because we have a lot of children with IEPs, and that could get very, very That could get difficult for some of those kids who might have motivation, you know, issues anyway. So,
I just want to jump out there because I represent the cross-categorical teacher on our team, and I really feel like standards-based instruction and reporting allows us to target the skill so that students who have any struggle, whether it's a disability or language proficiency or learning style or organization, attention, drama at home, whatever. If we're only targeting this essential skill in terms of what's being graded and reported, we have to disregard anything else that's irrelevant. And so teachers can't then be subjective because maybe this particular student is very disorganized or this particular student has a behavioral disability. We're just grading what we're targeting in terms of our teaching. And when we define that clearly before we start,
okay,
we do a better job of delivering it.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Maslin.
Yeah, hi. I guess I'm with Mr. Hughes on this a great deal. I don't think the standards were ever at issue here with parents or with teachers. I think it's a great idea, and I think most teachers thought it was a great idea as well. Are you hearing this, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So that wasn't what it was at issue here. What was issue was report cards, numbers, which nobody understood, parent communication, which, as Mr. Yu said, was really bad, and many parents just simply don't understand it or don't have the language to understand it, whether it's in there, whether it's translated into Spanish or Hmong or whatever. They still don't get it. They're not used to American schools, and they don't understand it. It's far too complicated. And some of the standards they don't understand. So if you're going to have a standard-based report card, we have to have standards that everybody understands from the beginning. We have to hope that those standards stay strong, and they are strong and good, and that we don't change them too often either, because that would be confusing. I think another thing that was at issue was the amount of work for teachers that were involved in this, the differences in grades among different teachers, and the tremendous amount of work that it took for teachers to put in because of the inadequate software, which we're working on, and I understand that. But let me say some things to the Sherman teachers. And by the way, thank you very much for coming here. I appreciate that very much. Number one, letter grades are not subjective. They're based very, very stringently on mathematical criteria. I have never seen or know any teacher that has ever included behavior or anybody with an IEP into that grade level, disorganization, attendance. I've never seen that ever entered into an A, B, C, D, E, D, F grade. So I don't quite get that. Self-assessment, you can certainly have children do with or without this report card, the way it's run now. You can have Infinite Canvas available with or without this type of report card. You can have student-led discussions in conferences over report cards with or without this. You can have it on letter grades. You don't have to have it on number grades. So all of the things that you include, which I think are wonderful and very important for students to take on the responsibility for their own work, can be done with any standard report card as well. Standard meaning our report cards, in the past. As for comments, teachers make comments all the time in the past. What they've reported to us is that they have to do so much work putting in the grade level in these report cards, they don't have time for grades, that some teachers actually gave up the most important thing they think they need to do on a report card, and that is give individual comments per standard, per child. So I don't think it's helping. If we look at the purest form in homework, which was Ms. Silvera's comment, homework is very interesting because what it does is it focuses children's attention on here's what you have to do now. This may not be fun to you. This may be hard work to you. This may take some time away from what my daughter calls screens, the different screens my grandchildren use, and there are multiple screens they use now. And it says this is what you have to do to learn. It's a wonderful sense of responsibility that you give your children to do. Now, if there are homes that cannot do this for their children and cannot help them, every middle school that I know of has a home, has a school, has a program after school for homework. Many of my students used to send me that I had to fill out. They could not do sports unless they finished their homework with the people involved. And that's also teaching them a sense of responsibility for their own work. Are we preparing our children for high school, for college, for MATC, for vocational school, for nursing, for anything in the world if we're not giving them what we should be giving them? One of them is homework. One of them is letter grades that they're going to be using in college and in any other MATC or otherwise. And so I find this, you know, argument is I don't see that we're preparing students for this. In that respect, I'm not saying the standardized report cards are bad, okay? I'm just saying we have had a lot of problems with them, and I'm not sure at some point we don't have to say to ourselves, wait a minute, is it getting any better? And look at this and say, is there another form or another way to do it? I can understand us wanting to try and to improve, and I appreciate you listening to teachers, but at some point do we have to sit down and say, well, wait a minute, maybe. Maybe just it's not working for us as a school district. And that's all I'm gonna say right now, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Passman. Ms. Maslin, followed by myself.
All right, first I wanted to just say thank you for your presentation and also for the report. It was really informative and it helped me understand what the standard-based report cards really were, which I didn't understand as much before. And I think that it has a really great objective, and I think it's really great that we're starting to try and focus grades more on standards and promoting student leadership. When you talked about students leading conferences, I thought that was really cool. However, I, like Mr. Hughes and Ms. Passman, I, as a high school student, am really worried about our middle schoolers going into high school because from my experience in the MMSD at high school, all of the classes are based on A, B, C, D, and those grades are based on percentages, not standards. And actually, despite what Ms. Passman said, I think many classes actually do use behavior and attendance in their grading systems in high school. I know of a few teachers who will actually knock your grade down an entire letter, your semester grade, if you aren't present in class just a couple of times. And so I think that this could be a big problem. I think we can move past it if we decide to continue with standards-based report cards, but I think that it's really important, especially in the eighth grade year, to provide the information and the preparation necessary for middle schoolers to make that transition into high school, because From what you've described and from what I know of high school, the two reporting systems are entirely different. So I think it's really important to make sure that once those students get into their first years of high school, they don't find themselves failing their classes because they're not because they're not trying, but because they're not used to the system of grading. And that could be something that would be very detrimental once they start applying to college or trying to figure out their what they're going to do post high school. So thanks a lot.
Can I say one more thing to Sarah's point?
Yes,
and that if
ahead.
We have teachers out in the district that are actually using attendance or behavior, then we need to do something about that. We really do. And I would hope we could make things straight to them that this is not to be included except for, you know, what should be included in the report card. But it's nice. I'm thank you for adding that, Sarah.
Yeah, and that's not just a couple teachers. That's a very significant number of teachers.
That's very serious. That's very serious.
Thank you, Ms. Passman. Any other comments?
I just wanted to reply really quickly. I think
the behavior example is one that you spoke to and that speaks significantly to me as being the IEP case manager. However, it's not always just that extreme, and until we have a standard that addresses homework or a standard that addresses effort, one of the recurring comments was, well, how come my kid can't get an A if they just try hard? Well, again, what is that A supposed to tell the parent about understanding of a concept? So I have an old just report from my daughter who's going to be a freshman, and some of the criteria that was included in her 100-point research grade was quantity of tabbed sections was 2% of her grade, highlighting effectively was 5% of her grade, meeting deadlines, while that's an important skill and habit, that's not addressing the standards related to research, which talk about thinking critically about sources and analyzing credibility and producing a synopsis in your own words and whatnot, using an organizer, using class time wisely. These are all important work habits, but should they have comprised 25% of her grade? That doesn't tell me what my daughter knows about research. That tells me what my daughter knows about studying. And to me, those are two very different things. So it's not just the behavior and just the attendance. It's some of these other kind of elements that are important skills, but they're not a standard. And that's what our district and our state and our nation says we're supposed to be teaching.
I had a couple comments. First, again, I want to say thank you to everyone that came here and discussed this. I speak for myself as a board member that these are the kind of conversations that I want to have more of, where we can hear from teachers and principals and administrative staff. One thing that I see happening as a parent is that, and as a board member, so I have these two different perspectives as well, is that there's an internal conversation with a lot of education lingo that goes on within the district, and it is very professional and it's much needed. And however, as the parent side, I view the report card as one piece that we have to communicate with parents. And we had said this over a year ago, so this isn't anything that is concerning your work or your effort, and that is that the way this was rolled out without a pilot that we could put our arms around, and the superintendent knows that we want to have our hands on everything, for better or worse, is that it led to what we found in the research, which is that about half of the parents don't understand the report card, and about half of the teachers don't understand the report card, or 48%, 49%. So while I think standards based and that internal conversation is very important, my own opinion is that we also have to look at how we communicate with parents. And for me, it doesn't matter whether it's an A, B, or C, or 1, 2, or 3. But there was so much misinformation that as a parent of a middle schooler, I can tell you that I had a child that just walked in with 4s and said, I don't have to work anymore. And for me, I want the concept of homework. I don't know what it will look like, and I think that poor Pam, we're going to have to add this to our list of things on our committee, because for a parent who has a child who gets 4s, I struggle with where is that leverage going to be so that my child can learn study skills, because I think homework means different things to different people, and it's beyond rote. It's that leverage that a parent can have when they have teachers like you and the child is connected to you, and they will do anything for you that they won't do for their own parent. And so we need to take advantage of that kind of leverage and prepare these kids for college. So I also wanted just to mention one other thing, and that was infinite campus use. We spent a lot of money on infinite campus, and one part of that, which took me a while to figure out, one part of infinite campus is learning to communicate, making it easier for teachers to communicate with parents. But that's not happening. Not completely. And unfortunately, with the report cards, it looks like teachers were communicating even less, because you only have so much time in the day, and we recognize that. And so we need to figure out how to take advantage of those situations that Principal Hernandez was talking about, when you actually do have a parent that you want to have that conversation with, and find more ways to communicate with parents and make them effective. So those are my